on Triple M. As you drive into town, you drive past our RAAF base, extraordinary history, and you'll hear about the great workers at Air Base Garvan, as it was known, our RAAF base, celebrating 100 years, a part of this great city and great history and great work that they've done for past generations, the current and, of course, the next generations. Chaddy, it's 100 years where our wonderful Heritage Centre here. What's some of the, well, prime attractions for someone who loves history of our RAAF?
Well, Pricey, the aircraft here actually operated through Townsville.
Ah, even better, yep.
So the Mirage at the front centre of our display actually operated through here, bombing on the range in support to our Australian Army.
Mm-hmm.
And the PC-9 forward air control aircraft.
That one?
This one here. It actually flew in to Townsville.
Really?
And landed for the last time.
Yep.
It's been made safe, and now it's on prime display for people to come and see when we open back up.
Which is, well, when's it going to be?
Another few more months' time, right, we'll do more work to refurbish our centre.
Now, we see some other displays here at our Heritage Centre, which I love every time we drive past. The propellers that are bent, what's the story with those?
They're off aircraft that were involved in accidents around North Queensland or in the Pacific.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and we can identify the aircraft by the type of propeller.
Yeah, okay, what are those? There's a few over there, there's
That's
three.
Right. The four-blader propeller is off a P-47 Thunderbolt.
Right,
an American aircraft.
Yep.
And an interesting story with that, when they arrived in Australia back in 1942, they didn't have enough fuel tanks, and we made them for them.
No. So the Aussies made the fuel tanks.
Exactly.
What's your pride and joy here? That you put together so much in this great Heritage Centre. What's your pride and joy?
Well, Pricey, I've worked on aircraft as an apprentice in the Air Force and also flying as pilot, but it's not an aircraft that is my pride and joy.
Mm-hmm.
It's an artefact. It's a 10-shilling note signed by American and Australian Air Force pilots in about July 1942.
Yeah, and where did it come from?
It was signed in Townsville, we believe, by the very first American fighter pilots from America.
Yeah.
And some of our leading Air Force pilots that then went on to fight at Milne Bay.
What will people get out of coming to this Heritage Centre?
We want to make the connection of today to yesterday.
Yep.
And the connection that we want to make is more than just about planes. It's about the people. About our values as people.
Yep.
And there is a known thing about the generation from the World War II period, which was so huge an impact on our culture, and that was known as the greatest generation. I believe today our young people, our people, can rise to those challenges again.
Yep.
If called upon.
Yeah.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, indeed.
But if called upon, because they're eternal values that we share with the former generation, the greatest generation, and today.
Amy, do you love your job?
Yes.
Now, okay, look, you work for the Air Force, you're in the great blue uniform. Now tell me how it all began for you.
Well, I started in 2012.
Yep.
I enrolled in the Australian Defence Force Academy down in Canberra, so the university that's run just for us. And following that, I went over to East Sale and did my basic air traffic course. And I was posted to Oakey, just to the west of Brisbane.
Yep.
And I did 3.5 to 4 years there and then moved up to Townsville.
Oh, lovely. Would you suggest to other young ladies that it's not a bad way of spending your life?
If you want to get paid to look out the window all day.
Is the window clean?
Yes, always clean.
Do you have to climb out and clean it, or you got someone to do that?
Oh, no, they get someone to do that for us.
Tell me about air traffic control. And how did you get into that? Why?
I've always been interested in aviation.
Yeah.
I've been for a couple of flights, but I felt a bit sick when I was in the air.
Oh, right.
So I thought, this is the way to go. I don't have to be in the air, but I can still be really involved in the aviation sector.
Mm.
So, I just fell into it, I guess.
Mm.
But it's great.
I can tell. Now, the responsibility you have, let's be honest, you know, you're talking to people who are in charge of an aircraft. There's all sorts of aircraft up there. It's a huge responsibility.
Yeah, it is. It sometimes weighs on you, but I think it's just like anything, you know, you get trained to provide the best service that we can, and once you get to the position where you're able to, you feel really confident to do that because you've had so much training leading up.
What about the responsibility of the airport, because it's defence and civilian?
Yeah, so we have defence and civilian traffic here, all from the same airport. Right. So on the base side of the airport, we've got the army helicopters and all that sort of stuff. We get lots of exercise traffic, fast jets, which you probably hear buzzing around towns.
I never heard of one. Yeah.
Lots of other exercises as well with our military traffic and transits. And then on the other side of the airport, just on the other side of the runway, is our civilian traffic. So we've got our Qantas and Velocity, Q-Link, the government aircraft, and we've got a couple of flying schools as well, helicopters.
Oh, there's a heap of those. Heap of helicopters. What is that your responsibility too? So everything that comes in here is you?
Yep, out to about 10Ks of Townsville, we control all the way to the ground. Mm-hmm. And then outside of that, we control higher levels as well.
Yeah, with the amount of mosquitoes here in the town common, you pick them up as well?
Pretty much.
Dave, where are we? We're right out in the middle of the base. Tell me about this little monument.
So today we're at the back of the RAF base, and we're standing in front of the Wollongoobah monument, which symbolises the middens that were moved by the RAF when they first established this area. So this monument is our symbol of the traditional custodians and how we pay our respects to them as well.
Of course. Tell me your history, your family ties as a first Australian, a proud first Australian lad.
So I'm from Mount Isa.
Yep.
And I'm a proud Matakudu Kalkudu man. My mother is from Kalkudu in Wanyi and my father from Matakudu.
Well, I bet they're proud of you because your job is something very special for the young kids coming on base here.
Yeah, it's for me, it's definitely an inspiration for my family, and I also like to inspire my younger generation coming through to help bring them through and get a successful career as well.
I bet they love it.
They sure do. They always have lots of questions when I go back to Mount Isa, and you know, it's definitely a highlight of my family. So I'm the first in my family to join the Air Force.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Hey, there was a special ceremony too when it comes to taking soil from here down to Canberra. Tell me about that.
So we took soil from this site here, and it was a very special ceremony, not only for the RAF base, but for the traditional custodians, because we get to share that soil with Canberra.
Yep.
And then we'll put that towards a monument down in Canberra that will reflect on the traditional custodians on each RAF base in Australia. So RAF base towns will play a special part in that as well.
Is it important for us to remember this land?
It's very important to remember this land and preserve the history and knowledge behind it as well. So, and this is what the monument reflects on as well.
There's a lot of history. You know, there's a little mountain here called Jimmy's Lookout. Do you know anything about that?
No.
Well, here's something you've got to do for me, all right?
Yep.
There's a gentleman by the name of Jimmy Morrill. He lived 17 years with the local tribes here, right? And he used to wander this area, and there's a little mountain just over there, and it's called Jimmy's Lookout, and that's where he used to sit and wait for the ships to come to shore. 17 years with the local tribes here, and they loved him.
I think it's definitely a very brilliant story on how two cultures meet.
And, yeah, it's wonderful, isn't it?
Sure is.
And you're helping. In a big way.
In a big way. I like to say it's mixing the blue culture with my culture.
Oh. Now, Mick, before I go on, I've got to thank you for Kenny Caribou. I've named it. Is that all right?
Okay, yeah. That's your caribou.
Tell me how that came about, mate. I know you had so much to do with it.
Well, the people may not know, but that caribou actually had a very heavy landing here up at High Range, so it could never fly again. Okay. So it ended up here by default in some way, by accident. Oh. But then we decided, well, let's make the best of it. So we brought it up here in September last year, 2019 September, into this very hangar here, and we spent 44 days repainting it. Oh. And we put it back in the front gate, and it's what you see today.
What do you think these wonderful aircraft that have arrived today, and Kenny, and Nippy Neptune, bring to this city?
Well, to me, Townsville is a garrison city, Army and Air Force, and you know it's our history. Yep. And if you don't learn from your history, you don't go forward. No. So you know, people can look back with pride at those aircraft.
Yeah.
And some young fellow might look at that and say, geez, I'd like to join the Air Force or the Army just by looking at that machinery, and that'd be great.
A couple arrived today. Tell me about this wonderful French lady. Although she was built here.
Yes.
Put together here.
Yes, it was built here. We bought, the Australian Air Force built, bought 100 of those aircraft, 100 single-seaters.
Wow.
And 16 dual-seaters. The first batch, I believe, were made in France.
Yeah.
And then the remaining were made out here under licence to the French manufacturer. So made out of Fisherman's Bend in Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so...
And the Windjill?
The Windjill, it was designed and built in Australia.
Oh, right.
By the Commonwealth Aircraft Corporation at the time, CAC, and built in the same place at Fisherman's Bend.
What's the Windjill? What?
The Windjill is a two-seater pilot training aircraft, so a basic trainer.
Yeah.
So it took someone who could not fly to be able to have their wings and fly solo.
What's going to happen to these aircraft now?
Right. We're going to put them on a stand out the front of the base at the RAF Townsville Aviation Heritage Centre.
Heritage Centre, yeah.
So they'll be put on concrete pads out there that have got weatherproof covers over the top of them,
mm-hmm.
and the aircraft will be on permanent display for the rest of their lives in Townsville.
Isn't that terrific? And, of course, our aviation history is extraordinary. You couldn't get us a Liberator, could you? Come on, one crashed on top of Mount Stralock here, the Texas Terror. Can't you get us one of those? They were lined up just here.
I know, B-24 Liberator, you'd love one, wouldn't you?
Would we?
I can't get one myself.
Are the tunnels fed income under the hill?
Oh, can't start. Wink, wink. I can't.
100 years of Air Force, Jeremy. What does that mean to you?
It means quite a fair bit. I've served in the Air Force for a while now, and to be part of something as special as 100 years is pretty significant in history. So,
Do you think we civilians understand what the Air Force does?
Yes and no. Obviously, there's been a lot of education over the recent years of what Air Force does, because obviously everyone knows Army.
Yeah.
They've been around for a long time, and Air Force has slowly come along, and we're showing more of what we're capable of doing. So, majority, and especially with the Anzac Day and stuff like that coming about, Air Force is pretty big there, so people do see us out and about.
What does it mean to you, though?
To me, every day I get up, Monday to Friday, or when I exercise, I get to put this uniform on.
Yeah.
And for me, it's pride wearing the uniform, knowing that I'm serving my country in something that's pretty special in the world, serving in the military.
For young people who are, I don't know, they're looking for a career, looking for something that will mean a lot to them, would you suggest the Air Force and why?
100%. The good thing about the Air Force, because when I joined in 2004, I joined initially as a supplier. And in 2013, I remustered to firefighter. So the good thing about the Defence Force is you don't have to sit at one job for the rest of your life. If you want to remuster to different jobs, you can. And especially with what 383 allows us as a squadron, I'm in an operations plans type role. So, yes, I'm a firefighter, but I'm also in a spot where I learn how to do operations and plan for operations.
Yeah.
So it's a... In Defence Force, you have an option to do many different type of roles.
Mm.
That's one of the good options. You never get bored.
A memory that you'll take with you, that you'll tell your kids, you tell your mates at the pub. Not that you'd ever go to the pub, of course. But what memory of this great this great job of yours?
I've been deployed 3 times. It's on my list.
Yes.
I've met a lot of great people, and I've served with a lot of great people. It's the most recent one I've done. I went down to Sydney for COVID assist, and I got to serve with... We actually were tri-service down there, so Army, Navy and Air Force. And I got to serve on the streets of Sydney, wearing my uniform, helping people come back from overseas. I've been trying to get back for years. I've talked to one person that said they can't try and get back since March.
Wow.
When they got off the bus and they saw that there was police and there was Air Force, and we helped them get up to their room, carrying their luggage, it was the relief on their face knowing that they were back on Australian soil, and they were happy to sit there for 2 weeks overlooking the Sydney Harbour.
Yeah, yeah. And you were there in that uniform.
In this uniform, yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Maddie, is it live the RAAF?
Absolutely. The RAAF is a big family where we treat each other as family, and it's important that we recognise our connection to the community, because yep. it's the community that we serve, but also that we represent. We all come from the community, we live in amongst the community, and we reflect all the community values as well.
You know, we've talked to everyone from young Amy to Chatty with history. It means a lot to them to be a part of this family too. Is there a great future for young people like Amy?
Absolutely. And you saw the passion in all those interviews that you've done out here, as you've looked around the base to see what we do out here in the Air Force in Townsville. And there's so much passion, and people love coming to work to serve the country in our profession of arms.
Mm. What do you reckon will be the future of the Air Force? You know, new aircraft, new ways of doing things, and, of course, the technology.
Yeah, so the theme for our 100th year is then, now, always.
Wow, okay.
And it's important to reflect on what's come before us, where we are now, and what's into the future. Yeah. So into the future, you'll see many more new aircraft coming in and out of Townsville. Townsville's got a very important strategic place to play in the security of our nation. It's the ability to project air power into the Pacific is as significant and relevant now as it was in 1940. And as it always will be into the future.
As controller of this base, what does it mean to you personally with your family? What do you tell the kids about what Dad does?
It's an extremely rewarding job, coming in every day past Nepi Neptune, Kenny Caribou, coming onto base and just being in amongst such passionate people that are here wanting to do the best they can to help guard the north, which is the motto of the base up here.
There's a painting behind us. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so we commissioned our local Indigenous artist, Nikki Bidju, to come and, in his way, try to represent what we do here in Townsville, but more what the airbase represents. And you know, it's in the centre is a picture of the Brolga, which is off our RAF base crest, and it's flying over a depiction of sea, land and air. And it also represents Navy, Air Force, Army, the joint nature of our service and the profession of arms. And the meeting circles also represent coming together and also going away through the airbase to somewhere else, but still being together in a joint nature.
Is it like that?
Absolutely. More so than ever.
Luke, what's a carpenter doing in the RAF? Come on, I want to know everything. And do you hit your thumb still?
I hit my thumb not that long ago. It
took about... You didn't have to own up to that.
Yeah, I shouldn't have. not a very good carpenter.
Oh, I bet you are. Tell me why and how it comes about. You know, you think of pilots, you think of people looking after the airstrip. Carpenter in the Air Force.
So someone has to provide the accommodation for the pilots, make sure they're comfortable, make sure everyone else is comfortable.
I thought they went to hotels. They go to five-star hotels, I was told.
That's where we stay when we build them. Yeah. Nah, that's all. Yeah, so we just build all the accommodation, make sure everyone's happy.
Yeah. So is this when you go on deployment, is it?
Yeah, so we can maintain facilities, we can build facilities. Yeah, there's a broad range of skills we can do. Repair runways.
Yeah,
it's huge.
You don't tell me the planes are made out of wood.
Some are.
I guess so.
They don't get me to build on them.
No. All right, so the future, do you think there'll always be a need for a carpenter in the Air Force?
Absolutely. So there's always a need for air bases around the country, around the world. So while there's still a need for air bases, there's going to be a need for carpenters and infrastructure, plumbers, electricians.
Wow. See, that's the side of things a lot of people perhaps don't know. This is a full-time job for you.
It is, yeah.
Right. Now, what about travelling around the country, humanitarian work? Do you do that sort of stuff too?
Absolutely. So we had a big push for bushfire assist, the Queensland floods, then local area, so Vanuatu, Fiji, all around the Southwest Pacific. We're heavily involved in all the humanitarian aid for that.
So you'd turn up there, fly there and build dongles or build things for the locals?
Whatever's required. So if that is schools, hospitals, dongles, accommodation, or just a clean-up effort, it can be anything.
Is it rewarding for you?
I find it very rewarding. Helping the community out, giving back to the community. You get to see a finished product at the end of the day. What can be nothing can turn into something pretty extraordinary at the end of the day.
It's 100 years of the Air Force. What does that mean to you?
It's a long time.
I'm not saying that you were there then. The legacy, the heritage. What does it mean to you?
No, it's a big achievement for the Air Force. I mean, we're the most junior service out of all three, so it's good to see that we've come a long way. I think we're the biggest service.
Yeah.
Or provide the best.
Hey, Richo, tell me the love for doggies. Where did it come from?
I've always loved dogs my whole life. I grew up with them. And then I saw a career in the ADF and thought, why not? How better working with attack dogs and getting amongst it and how to train them?
But, you know, this is a little bit different than sitting at home with your little fluffy dog and patting it and walking around the yard and making sure it doesn't poo behind the couch. These dogs are a whole different side of things. Tell me about it.
The Belgian Malinois, best dogs. Yeah, everyone will tell you. Yeah, German Shepherds are much better. Nah, no way. Belgian Malinois for the win all day, every day. They run all day environmentally.
Yep.
Environmentally sound, they run in the heat, weather.
Yeah. They're cool. Environmentally sound dogs.
Absolutely.
Right. Yep. I suppose we've got to have that. Tell me the job of the dogs here.
The job of the dogs? Yeah, absolutely. So we provide base security. Is our paramount, our bread and butter. So we use the dogs, obviously, for apprehension and deterrent. So kind of like our weapon, essentially. Kind of very dangerous and lethal, and you definitely want to be getting on the wrong side of them, that's for sure.
Training them. Is that your job or...?
So as a handler, I used to train them. So for me now, it's the management role. But every handler has their own dog that they're teamed with for their career. So every day, like you can see behind you, so we're doing some basic obedience for their monthly assessments that we've got to do.
You get to mark out of 10.
Oh, I get to mark out of 50 for the basics.
Oh, really? Yeah. Righto, yeah.
So, yeah, it's up to the handler to provide, comply with all the training requirements that we all got to do and standards that we got to maintain. So both in the obedience and tactically.
Yeah. Is it hard to train a dog? You know, does it have to become a mateship, a relationship with the trainer?
Absolutely. So you've got to have a bond. The bond is paramount. I've been told it's like training kids. You just bribe them with a bit of a lolly. But in this case, we bribe them with their toy and they'll do anything for us. So
Tell me what we're looking at on that very point.
So that point there, the handler is just doing basic obedience, so the downstay exercise. So the dog will get down and adopt the position. The dog does the position and mum gives him the toy. So easy as that.
Okay, now how often are the dogs being used around the base? Are they 24 hours?
They're 24 hours, absolutely. So all day, day shift, night shift, we're always patrolling. So if you see us, we're obviously not doing our job right. So we're hidden there. But rest assured, we're there.
I've got a little Tenterfield Terrier. You reckon you could, I just want him to come when I call him.
Yeah, no chance, mate.
Do you love your job?
Absolutely love it. There's no other job out there. I recommend it for all people looking in that industry. But, yeah, I'm certainly going to stay here till the day I die. So I'm here to retirement age anyway. So,
good. You got your own bowl with your little name on it as well. Bit of kibble.
I do, drink on Anzac Day out of the bowl. Just remember all the dogs pass. So, yeah, I do that. So.
Chatty, this seat I'm in now, I have to say I've got shivers up and down my back just being here. Mate, this is the old Huey. Tell me about this amazing aircraft.
Well, Steve, this particular aircraft operated in Vietnam as a combat aircraft, so combat action. And
I've got to take that in a bit. I am sitting where pilots would have been flying through Vietnam, perhaps getting shot at, picking up our diggers, dropping off our diggers. Is that fair dinkum?
That's fair dinkum. They did a lot of work with the Special Air Service, the SAS.
Yeah.
And this particular aircraft was configured as a gunship.
Wow. Okay. Well, what's a gunship? Other than the logical things, what was its job?
Its job was to provide fire suppression and fire support.
Yep.
So they had rockets, mini guns, plus double M60s.
Will we be able to see this in time?
You bet, Steve. We've got some of the parts already with the aircraft, but our directorate, which is a history and heritage director with an Air Force, we're going out and sourcing the mini guns and the rockets also.
To make it look as it was in Vietnam?
Hey, that's right, Steve. You bet.
Now, these guys, these jokers around us here, they've got a love for aircraft. They've helped with this and others.
You bet, Steve. Our volunteers here have actually provided specialist support to us to put this aircraft back together.
Oh,
yeah. And we could not do it without them because they've got the experience.
Yeah. What sort of stuff have they done with this aircraft?
Well, the aircraft arrived without its main rotor
or
tail rotor. And we needed their support to put them back on to make it complete.
Oh, yeah. Chaddy, what does this mean to you when you sit in an aircraft like this?
I have to sit and reflect, Steve, because I was born in 1971 in the heyday when this aircraft was operating.
Yeah.
And to me, to sit in the same spot where men were flying these aircraft in combat operations, I'm just humbled by it.
100 years of the Air Force, what does that mean to you?
It's a legacy, mate. It's a legacy because throughout the times we've operated different platforms, from biplanes to monoplanes to fast jets, supersonic jets. But there's things that don't change, and things like our values, excellence, innovation, dedication.
You know, as we sit here in this Iroquois, we wouldn't have it if it wasn't for you blokes.
That's right, Steve. This particular aircraft came from a depot down south within Defence.
Yeah.
And we secured it for this purpose so the people of Townsville and North Queensland can visit an aircraft that used to operate here through our skies.
We're very proud of our military history, certainly in Townsville as a garrison city, and our air base Garbutt, 100 years. Maddie, is it something we should celebrate and remember?
Absolutely. As we get to our 100th birthday, it's a good time to reflect on what it means to Townsville, because we've been here in Townsville serving the community since 1940. 80 years of that 100 years of the Air Force history has been right here in Townsville.
What does it mean to you? You know, look, you're Chief Wing Washer, as I affectionately call you, but you must be pretty proud of the Blue Walkers and the history here.
Absolutely. So much history from Townsville. You know, in the Second World War, we were, at one point, were the second largest Air Force out, US Air Force out.
Mm.
The US were had the second largest amount of aircraft here than anywhere else outside of the US at the time.
Yeah.
So that history started in 1940 for us.
Yeah.
And through the Coral Sea, played a massive part of the Battle of the Coral Sea.
Yep.
And all through history to now and into the future, Townsville plays a strategically important piece of the defence of Australian service.
What do you reckon about the youngies here? You know, what do they think of being in the Air Force?
You know, the young people that are coming through are just as proud to serve today as each and every one of us that have served before them. And as we think and reflect on our last 100 years, we've got to think about the next 100 years and what it means for them, what foundations we've set for them to continue to follow in our footsteps into the future.
What is the legacy?
The legacy here, all the aircraft that have come here, you know, we're a mounting base and a forward operating base, as well as serving the community through maintaining the base here. So the legacy really for Townsville is, and a lot of people don't realise, that Defence owns and runs the airport. So it's our responsibility to keep that runway open. It's our responsibility to man the air traffic control tower. So Defence plays a crucial role to the community in providing an airport for use by the community.
You know, you were open right through some of our most heartbreaking times too, during the cyclones and the floods.
Yeah, absolutely. 2019 floods, we brought in a crew to make sure that we could keep Townsville accessible by air. I mean, we were cut off by the roads, by the rail. The only way in was air, and we kept it open as long as we could. We never closed.